This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest, meatiest center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Randall Murphy is lost in his echo chamber. Sounds like a bubble. You're in your bubble. Douglas, let's continue here. So maybe I'm giving you an idea here. What are you doing now to promote your book? Obviously, we got a press release, which is why we decided to contact you. Beyond that, are you going on a number of radio and TV stations to talk about this?
Through Nicole, I'm able to get on radio stations. I decided not to enter the social media realm because that is tracked far too much. And since the people that I look to are hunted anyway, I decided that social media is not the way to go. Now, I have been in bookstores. I work with writers groups, and I meet with different writers, but my stories themselves are not priced at the point where I can afford for a brick-and-mortar bookstore like Barnes & Noble or Books A Million to take, you know, 50% of the cover price as their take on it. I can't produce the books for the amount that would be like a mass-market paperback. They're produced as trade paperback and library editions on Amazon, and that was the best that I could do for distribution. And they're priced accordingly because they're printed on demand.
I want to be the one to talk to you about this, but I just discovered something. You have this website, silently-publishing.company.
Yes.
Etc. And when you go to the site, this is your site, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So if I click on the link to Silently Comes the Night on your homepage, it goes to a 404 error, meaning that it's pointing to an incorrect page, incorrect URL. And I think more than anything else, you ought to fix that.
Yes, I'll call the company that hosts it, see what I can do.
Okay. So if you need any assistance, let me know. Randall and I do muck around on the internet every so often. All right, so getting back to this, I understand your concerns about online privacy and why you don't want to get involved. But the way to get the word out about new books, new ideas, is to get traffic on Twitter and Facebook. If you're careful, real careful, you can do it in a way that doesn't seriously compromise your privacy.
Why should it matter? Because what you've got are, according to you, you've got some divinely inspired books here that, you know, to not promote them would seem to be something that would go against that inspiration, right? Obviously, you would think the purpose here is to get them out and get as many people reading them as possible, because there's a message there that you were divinely inspired by from Christ or God or your faith, whatever it happens to be. Why on earth would you want to not want them tracked? I mean, hypothetically, you would want everything to be as out in the open as possible.
No, certainly that's true. But, you know, I've gone to various churches and attempted to speak to the senior pastor of the church and try to explain what this project does. And in many cases, or in most cases, they really just don't. They either show no interest at all, or they flatly ask people to leave.
Right. But I mean, you don't need to be going to a church for, you need to be going to Twitter and Facebook and MySpace. I mean, at least you're on Amazon, and that's good. Let me ask you this. If you type in, say, on Amazon, you just type in vampires, what you get is over 80,000 results. That's a lot of competition. What sets your books apart from your competition?
The only thing that I could say about my revelation of these people is that I see them as real people and I see them as suffering. I don't think it follows the typical Hollywood model, And like I say, when I saw my storyline, it wasn't from me trying to, quote, make up a vampire story. I just saw what I saw because it had been on my heart for so long.
You felt your vampire story.
Yes, I did.
Right, but you must be familiar with a number of the other stories out there. So, you know, why should people buy yours instead of, you know, one of these other bestsellers that are, you know, at the top of the list?
If I'm right about anything I saw, the world will eventually find out that people like this really do exist. When you find out that people like this really do exist, you'll want to kill them because that's what humans do. When you try to kill them, they will fight back, and it will not be good for anybody. And so seeing that I think this is going to come to a head soon enough anyway, this is your window to look into the life of a person like this so you have some basis of understanding what a person like this either can do, would do, or how they think or how they feel. And in my case, I say you should know what they're like before you meet one.
I'd like to know more about your personal experiences and how they illuminate this. Because certainly this world of vampires, as you depict them, it's not a lot of fun. They're always having to look for more blood. But then again, you know, humans have to look for food. Otherwise, no food, you don't survive. So maybe, I know Randall asked about before, maybe we can flesh this out further in our remaining segments?
Certainly.
So do you have experiences, bloody or otherwise, dating back to your childhood that influenced it?
Well, other than all the blood that I saw in my dreams and like that.
I'm not talking about I'm not talking about bloody dreams. I mean bloody reality. Or do you just have bloody dreams?
Mostly in my mind.
Okay.
So what?
Go ahead, Mark.
What makes you think everyone would want to attack and kill these people? Because right now, you can say you can Google real life vampires, and you can find out that there are these subcultures and so on. And really, you know, most people just go, "Ooh, you know." I mean, that's kind of weird party. But I don't think I just don't think I want to go. But they don't. They don't get, you know, their pitchforks and torches out and go after them.
Well, hopefully the human race would be a little more discreet. I hope so.
Yeah, have you thought here, having dreamed about the possibility of vampires, they exist in the subculture, to take a trip? You get a few weeks off from work, and you go out there on the road, see what you can learn, go into small towns, have dinner in diners where people talk and see what you could learn. Ever think that maybe something there would attract your feelings about the existence of people like this?
I'm not certain that that would be, you know, if the Holy Ghost helps, says do it, I do it. I certainly like to travel and be in different places. The storyline itself takes place in a number of different towns and cities, and one of these days I'd really like to get out to actually see these places, because I think that would be really neat.
Let me pass by here. The cities in which these novels are set, have you ever visited any of them, or did you just do online research or something to say, well, this is Piedmont, Alabama, and this is how it is?
The story began in Trenton, New Jersey. I have not been to Trenton. I have been to Odessa, Texas. I have been to Helena, Montana. And of course, I'm familiar with Chicago since I'm from there, although I haven't been up there in years. You know, the other places I haven't been to yet, but that's, you know, certainly something I might try at some point.
Of course, it also may be a lot of fun to do all that kind of research in writing a book, if you can afford it, if there's a big, well, advance. But if you do it yourself, I recognize it's not always easy to get to the places you want. You know what? Let's talk more about this in our next segment with Gene Douglas and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, you have a number of locales for these stories, and maybe it's not possible to visit everyone, though it'd be a heck of a lot of fun. So, Douglas, how do you do your research about local culture and everything? Do you just go online, read books, whatever?
I read a lot. I use Wikipedia a lot. I use Google Earth. especially street view, if I want to see what a city is like on the streets. When I first wrote the first story, I didn't have those tools.
All right. That definitely works out. That's a nice way to visit something. Maybe even watching a program, a travelogue, so you can get your image of the culture. Now, I'll give you an example of how things can work out now with smartphones and online chatting. My son Grayson has a WhatsApp account. He called us this morning, and he turned on his camera. And so there he is taking us on a tour of Madrid. And he turned his camera around so we could see the stores he visited, the local culture, get a kind of an idea of how things were. Not what you read in a book, but just at street level, experiencing what he, in general, experienced in the course of his travels and talking to us. I suppose that's a way to help. Now, you have three books out there right now, right?
Just the first two.
Oh, the first two. And the third one is about what?
The third one is With Deadly Intent. The fourth one is Overkill. And the next one would be Macon Story, which is the first historical one. Those are the ones that I'm working on now.
Okay, so looking at these books now, the third volume in the series will be out when?
I haven't finished it yet, so I have no date when it could be finished.
Okay. Now,
I was just looking here that one of the places where vampires have been sighted and actually met is New Orleans. So that might be some place to check out here. This one article I just happened to run across here said that the author who wrote the piece said he's met 39 of them in New Orleans.
Yes, New Orleans seems to attract them. A few summers ago, I was in New Orleans. It was a wonderful trip.
Did you get to explore around where the shadow is where they might be hanging out, or how long were you there?
There were some specific things I wanted to see when I was there, and I did see them. But it was a rather quick trip. I didn't have time for more lengthy visit. Not that time. But maybe I'll go back and soon sometime, but I don't know when.
Have you heard of psychic vampires?
Yes.
Can you, what do you think of those? Can you talk a bit about that?
My understanding of what people call a psychic vampire is a person with a physical manifestation of a religious spirit, because that's what religion does. It sucks the life out of everything living to keep itself alive.
That's what religion does. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Even good religion. So, say,
well,
Christianity.
Religion is religion. Relationship with God is relationship with God. There's a difference.
Oh, okay. How do you see the difference between religion and belief in God?
Well, religion is all this practice that man makes up to get himself to God. And relationship with God, however you define that, is your personal experience and your walk and your thought life and, you know, the choices you make and all of that. It comes from your relationship with Him.
I see. So for you, you are a follower of Christianity, but that doesn't necessarily mean you are affiliated with any particular church.
I tend to be more comfortable in either an independent church or a Pentecostal church, even though right now I'm attending a Baptist church.
Have you ever experienced any other religious phenomena? Or?
Yes, I have been to Russian Orthodox, greatly enjoyed it. I've been to, a variety of other churches around, but like I say, I tend to be more comfortable with what people call Pentecostal.
Okay.
So you've never gone to a synagogue?
Oh, yes, I've been to Jewish services too, yes.
But, obviously I have, but they didn't inspire you the way the Christian church did. Now, I've gone, just so our listeners know, I've attended Wiccan, pagan services. I've been to lots of synagogues. I've been to various and sundry Christian churches. So I've seen a lot of different ways of worshiping.
Certainly.
Have you experienced any of the apostolic churches, where they do the speaking in tongues thing and get right into a whole state of what they believe to be kind of a resonance with, I guess, the Great Spirit or whatever it is there?
Well, in 2000, I was led to go to a Bible college, which was promoted by an independent church. And yes, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Bible college. And yes, I can speak in tongues and all of that.
Let me tell you a story here, folks. Now, I'm not attacking anybody's religion. I respect all religions as long as they have good thoughts at the heart of it. So I was working at a radio station with my first wife, Geneva, in Piedmont, Alabama. This goes back to the late 60s. And so I come in on Sunday. Normally I didn't, but the person who worked on Sunday wasn't available. And I was told that this place called Chapman's Chapel. That's the name. If there's a Chapman's Chapel now, I don't even think there's a resemblance. They would be coming in to do their show. And they paid for that show. And before they could do that show, before they were allowed in to do their show, they had to pay me the money. No money, no show. So they pay me the money. I don't know what it was, $50 or something. And they sit down. And I'm sitting next to Geneva, and we're just hanging out, listening to this. And so they're in a large production studio next to the main studio where I worked. And they go into a presentation, and during the sermon, the reverend talks about sinners and then points his eyes towards us rather meaningfully. And then he speaks louder and louder, and I'm turning the volume control lower and lower so it doesn't blast on the air, turning lower and lower, and finally heard something in a language I never heard before. And for the next few seconds, they were speaking in tongues, the one and only time I heard this. Now, understand, I was a naive kid from Brooklyn, New York. I was 21 years of age. I didn't know anything about speaking in tongues. So I turned my head, did a double take, and tried to figure out what was going on. Later, Geneva, who was born in Alabama, explained to me what this meant. We've got more to come. Douglas, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go, while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
America mourns the passing of a man who people of all political stripes are calling a hero.
We've got to get through these times, but I have a fundamental belief in the United States of America, and I still believe, under the right leadership, our best days are ahead of us.
Republican Senator and former Vietnam War POW John McCain has died at 81. The Senate's top Democrat, Chuck Schumer, thinks of him this way.
John McCain was one of the greatest men I have met. You don't meet too many great men.
He was one of them.
McCain's office announcing the senator passed away late yesterday, surrounded by family, at his home near Sedona, Arizona. The family had said on Friday he'd stopped medical treatment for an aggressive form of brain cancer. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So hearing someone speaking in tongues, you think they're possessed. And since you've done this, Douglas, would you explain this to someone who's a neophyte, who has heard this one time? Are you possessed?
No. The way that I explain it is, when a person receives Jesus as Lord and Savior, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, comes into your heart. He literally lives in you, and the way that I experience him, he's there because he wants to be there.
That's possession, folks.
No, it's cohabitation. It's him living in your mind, dwelling in your mind, and in your spirit, because man is a spirit.
Right, but who is in control? Who is in control during this period where you're sharing your consciousness with an outside force?
Always the man, because the scripture says the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophet, meaning that the man or the woman, in this case, whatever it is, always has the say-so.
And so you're allowing yourself to share your consciousness with an outside force. Now, is this something where you invite them in with prayer, or they just show up?
Now, to call the Holy Ghost an outside force seems a little bit not quite right, because he is God, and as I've seen him, he is my best friend.
Right, but he's not you, right? So I think all Gene means is there's you, and you have your own personality and your own life as a singular entity, and then we have what you believe to be these other entities out there, which go by the name of Christ or God. It depends on sort of which version you want to go with on that. So when one of those comes into your frame of reference, consciousness, or whatever it happens to be, what you have is, like you call it, cohabitation, right? So it's cohabitation possession, I think it just there's just a little bit of a twist on the context. You know, one is negative, whereas one is sort of tolerable.
In 2010, it was discovered that I had a demonic spirit in my head. Now, you've probably seen the movies and so forth as to how to cast one of these out, but a friend of mine who understands his spiritual authority cast it out, and it wasn't the big deal that you may have seen in the movies, because that's not how it works.
Okay, you didn't levitate. Your head wasn't spinning around and around.
No.
Okay, that's
but
certainly refreshing.
Yes. Gone, I knew when it was gone because my thoughts cleared up tremendously. And the other people around me that saw me over the next few weeks said that I seemed, quote, lighter, or I guess you would say not as dark, perchance.
Okay, so you said you had the demon within you. Was this at a time that you were doing a lot of your writing about vampires? Is this something that lasted for years or something that just happened?
Well, I believe when I had started having the bad dreams when I was 7 or 8 years old, I think that was the demonic spirit back in that day manifesting. The point that I make, though, at this time, I had been at a Pentecostal church for about 11 years. So whatever demonic spirit was in me, it must have been a real teeny one, because nobody noticed. It took them 11 years to even notice it.
How do you know it was even there, then? I mean, wouldn't you notice it?
It started manifesting on a Wednesday night one night, and my friend noticed it, and we had a talk. Now, as part of him casting it out, I did have to make a declaration that I did not want it in my life. I did not want it. So I had to speak the words to say, I don't really, not clear what all I said, but I said I didn't want it in my life. And I made
how did he notice it? And if you don't mind me, how when you say he noticed it, you know, what was it that he noticed?
When I was talking, I had asked permission at this point to go on a trip to South Carolina to see a certain graveyard. And sadly enough, along this storyline, the storyline is the demonic spirit would have driven it, was not the storyline I wanted to write. And so it was pulling me and manifesting about that time when I was talking to him about going on a trip to research the story.
How is
That's
it
what I was thinking.
How is it manifesting to him? So
he
that
could
he could see it.
He could just see it.
What did it look like?
I don't know.
How do you know it
existed? Like I say, a spiritually sensitive person can pick up on things. And he was aware that it was in me, and I was aware that it was there by that time. Because my speech and my thoughts were not what I would normally say and think. And so it was a very uncomfortable feeling, really.
Now, just to point out here, there are psychological conditions, such as multiple personality disorder, that might result in this kind of behavior, acting like another person. Did you ever seek psychiatric help, or was it entirely through the church?
It was entirely through the church. But once he cast it out, I was in disrepute at that point anyway because of my stories that I wanted to write. They just didn't like it at all.
Okay, once the devil was cast out, did you find any change with your creativity, your ability to write these novels?
Well, I saw them again in much more vivid detail. And when I was writing Rites of Passage, the second story, it just flowed.
So you're saying it gave you a sense of clarity?
Well, the clarity, surely, but when I was thinking about this storyline back in the day, I was envisioning rites of passage as a story the first time when I had the demonic spirit in my head, as a story that would chill the blood on a hot summer day. And that thought kept running through my mind as I was trying to think about writing it. And I think that's one of the reasons back, way back when it stalled and wouldn't go forward another step. But when I had the demonic spirit cast out and my thoughts were clear again, I saw the story like I think I originally intended it. And it's certainly not the kind of a story that makes someone afraid, because as you meet Janine and see her and see Thomas going through the change, it's a much different kind of story than if the demonic spirit had been in the driver's seat. It would have been just another horror story.
How much of yourself is in these stories? Like, is there do you see yourself as sort of one of the characters in a way? So do you speak through a particular character in the stories yourself?
Well, so far as the characters are concerned, I think I'm all of them and none of them. You know, maybe a little piece of me is certainly in my consciousness, and how they think has to come through my mind as I express it and write it. But I am none of the characters.
Okay.
This is entirely something that you invented, these characters. We'll go into more of this and get our insights into this very, very interesting or fascinating process of creating a series of novels and envisioning an entire subculture that is vampiric. Douglas, Randall, and Jean, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Cook, Chief Marketing Officer for Kmart and Sears. Every baby deserves the best possible start, but not all babies get one. March of Dimes is changing that. You can help us lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. Join me and Kmart to march for babies. Let's raise funds and be champions for families near and far. Together, we are building a brighter future. Sign up for Kmart's team today at marchforbabies.org.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue with our final segment of this journey through a dark, dark world. Douglas Robinson telling us about writing these silently books, working on the first two novels, and later in the series. Have you had any interest or sought interest, Douglas, in having it on television? This seems to be something that ought to be ripe for a TV series, don't you think?
I think it would play better as a movie.
How so?
The storyline is very specific, and the way that I've sort of mapped it out in my head, you take the contents of Silently and Rights, and that would be the first movie. You take the contents of With Deadly Intent and Overkill, and that would be the second movie.
Yeah, but I think you have to realize, too, that when you do a movie, you really have to cut out a lot of the exposition because you're talking about something that's 2 and 2.5 hours. And packing two novels, full novels, into a single movie is exceedingly difficult. Of course, they did that with Harry Potter. But you also would find, you know, where they had basically, was it one novel per movie or something like that? You might find yourself taking one novel and making it into two parts if it's a big novel. Because I did this when my son Grayson and I took our first Rockoids book. And we took a couple of lessons in screenwriting. And we didn't pretend it was a really good screenplay. But we then took what we saw in this book and turned it into a screenplay. And what we did was concentrate more on the visual, where things that we write in 20 pages suddenly can be shown in the screenplay in a couple of scenes, even maintaining fidelity to the original book. So combining two books into a single movie seems a little unrealistic, don't you think?
Well, the reason that I thought of them that way is because each of the two-story blocks seem to wrap around each other. For instance, Thomas is exposed to Macon's blood in the first story, and he's going through the change in the second one, reliving what happened to him in the first one. So they sort of wind around each other. And so I've noticed that in the storyline, it just seems that each two stories together, so back to back, seem to wrap around each other in a sense.
Exactly, but you have to consider screen time and what you can present on the screen and what works better visually as opposed to with the written word. And I'm not an expert on screenplays, folks. I don't pretend to be. I don't play a screenwriter on TV or radio, but I know a little bit about it. I'm just wondering how that would happen. Have you thought, though, about physically trying to write a treatment for the motion picture industry? A treatment kind of showing us the plot of your book and how it might work out as a film?
What I have is the storyline itself written in synopsis form. You know, I suppose any filmmaker would have the right to sort of pick through that.
A synopsis can be a treatment. Okay? Just to let you know.
Right. I'm not familiar enough with a treatment to be able to write one as of yet. So I sort of confess that I don't know enough.
That's all right. That's all right. Like I said, I don't pretend to know much about it. Have you ever explored any of that, Randall?
Not really. No, I've taken a stab at writing some of it just for my own self, just to see what it would be like. So doing some script writing, but I haven't actually submitted it to anybody. But, you know, actually, Gene, I think you make kind of a good point in terms of dividing it up into more of a series, because, you know, going back to the beginning there with Barnabas Collins, he's a, you know, fictional character in the ABC daytime serial, Dark Shadows, right? And that aired from 1966 to 1971. So you might be able to take that approach, and then if it were to build interest from that, it's not uncommon for something like that to be then made into more of a feature film. So you could break down your books instead of combining two books into a single large movie. You could actually break down individual books into a number of episodes. So, and something to consider there, it wouldn't be as much work. You could do it as, you know, a chapter at a time. I think you could maybe get a good shot at it.
Let me think about that. What you're saying is like make it like series fiction, where you tune in this week to see the episode because the hero was left in a cliffhanger last week, and you got to come back this week to see if he survived.
What would be really interesting about that, too, is because you've got this long story arc over several books that could actually last you out a number of seasons. And people do very well with some of them. So if you managed to get that done, I mean, it would be an easy way to go, and it could get you started and motivated to get the rest of the series done as well. You've got a really good start. You could have a number of shows ready to go. You can shop that around to people in the networks. Maybe Netflix would pick it up if you were lucky. Why not? I mean, it can't hurt.
That's an interesting approach, and I had not considered it. So thank you for letting me know.
Yeah, you're working with a publicist now. You were saying, was it Nicole?
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, talk to her about it. Sounds like it could be something that she could help you with.
Well, I will certainly ask.
And indeed, I don't know what kind of fees and services you order, but she might be the ideal person with whom to discuss further promotion, depending on what kind of budget you can put together, how best to submit your work to the motion picture industry. And maybe, of course, you would need an agent who's a signatory to the Writers Guild. I learned this, by the way, that the agent who represented us on our novels, she's retired now. She was a member of the Writers Guild, and we went through all the normal channels and did it the normal way. Because when it comes to submitting this to a producer or an actor or something, you have to have it that's already posted and listed at the Writers Guild, because they're not going to take anything that isn't kosher, for example, because, you know, there could be issues of copyright and disputes, which there are anyway. Hollywood's a pretty crazy place. But you need an agent who would do this. Do you have an agent?
I do not.
Okay. Maybe if something like that, if you want to navigate this into the big business, the world of motion pictures and everything, or TV, you'd probably want to try to seek out an agent, take your novels, the printed versions, submit them to agents. There are directories. And see, you know, what kind of response you get. In any case, I wish you the best of luck with your series. And certainly, if anyone's listening who really is a vampire, if they want to get in touch with you, Douglas, how do they do it?
They'll find me when they want to. They can do that.
Ooh.
Yeah, they can do that.
I don't think we've ever heard that answer before.
I mean, I've heard answers, you know, look for me in Facebook. Walter Bosner says, look for me on Facebook. Alan Greenfield says, look for me on Facebook. Douglas says, if they want me, they'll find me.
They certainly can. They can do that.
All right.
When you read the second story, you'll understand more.
I'll look forward to it. What an interesting day. You don't have to visualize us, maybe in your worst nightmare. But you can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. There are two Paracast fan clubs on Facebook. We will never combine them. They may merge into one someday if there's a way to do it realistically. We have a second radio show for you to listen to called After the Paracast. After the Paracast can be a mixture of anything. You can never predict what we'll do. After the Paracast is only available if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. We also give you something else that people on YouTube always talk about, a version of the show free of the network ads, better quality audio. And you get this with a subscription to the Paracast Plus. And some of you, if you're a subscriber to the Paracast newsletter or a member of our forums, you'll be getting a special, special, special offer by about the time you listen to the show. For more information, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. Randall, where do we find your stuff?
UFOpages.com.
UFOpages.com. Douglas Robinson, it's been a fun discussion about your world. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you for having me.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here.
On, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Oh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they make such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.